2. The last Liathi sat in the dark, alone, but not alone. Black rapids rushed in the river before her, swift as her brother's blood now beat in her veins. The hell they'd fashioned for her was lightless now, the Marquis gone to his bed, and his serfs gone to his arms, and his silver saint gone to his tower above. But below, amid the shards of shattered glass and the spatters of cooling red, and the fragments of the broken silver cage that had bound her teeth once, but no more, Selene could feel him. A tiny pulse in the black. "Come here, little one," she whispered. "We'll not hurt you." She reached out with her gifts, stolen, but still now hers, into the deepest corner of her cell. She felt his little mind, heard his little feet, scratching upon the rocks at her beckoning. Selene placed one pale hand on the stone, letting him scamper into her palm, and she lifted him up to her black eyes, dead enough to see in that cold oubliette. A small black mouse, cleaning busy little whiskers with busy little paws, peering at her with eyes near as dark and hard as her own. "What does your master call you, petit frère?" he squeaked reply, small and sharp. "Marcel," she repeated. "Pretty." The last Liathi smiled, sharp as a broken blade. "Are you here to spy on us, Marcel?" The little one squeaked affirmation, turning a circle on her palm. She nodded, sad. "Your master truly does not know what he is dealing with, does he?" Marcel squeaked protest, and she tilted her head, listening. "No offense, petit frère. Nobody truly does. But let us give you a morsel, then, by way of apology, heartfelt. One to fill your little belly to bursting. A grim and lonely day stretches now before us, and who knows how long shall pass until we speak again. We are cruel, Marcel, and we are cold, but not so much as to leave you so unsatisfied. So, let us have an ending, little one, a finale worthy of the name." She smoothed back the long midnight blue hair from her face, licked the red on her lips, the same as her mother's had been, smooth and full and bow-shaped. "We told your master of the Grail's funeral, of the names they sang for her, and the heaven's black reply, and that we did not watch her buried. All of that was true. We waited below, in the crypt of Mother Marin, surrounded by those silent effigies, that circle of broken tombstones, sitting in the water and staring at those words, those truths, knowing not their meaning. From holy cup comes holy light, the faithful hand sets world aright, and in the seven martyrs' sight, mere man shall end this endless night. Before the five come unto one, with sainted blade neath virgin sun, by sacred blood or else by none, this blackened veil shall be undone." Marcel squeaked, and Selene smiled, petting his brow with her fingertips. "I know not how long we waited, petit frère. Long enough for the songs to fall silent, at least. For the red thrill of victory in the city above to fade, and the shock of the price they'd all paid for it to begin to bleed through. The dark waters we lingered in were drenched red. Red like the tears I'd cried. Red like the life she'd spilled. Red like the stains on that marble coffin before us, the blood of ancient Divok mixed with a prince of the Dusk Dancers, and spilled upon that stone angel, dripping down its open mouth, onto the mouth within. We could feel her quickening now, fear stabbing our breast, settling like a dark and tattered shroud upon our shoulders. How would I explain it? What reason could I give? What excuse might I muster? What spell might I weave with these things so weak and frail as words to explain that I had found all we had searched for these long and lonely centuries, only to let it slip through my fingers at the last and shatter like glass upon the floor? "Mother, forgive me," we whispered. And the angel stirred then, the slightest tremor in the marble, the colossal weight of that mighty capstone shivering as if the earth trembled. We rose to our feet, head bowed, the terror in me unbound as that angel was at last dragged aside, as that capstone fell free and crashed into the brine, and a dark shape rose up from the aching hollow within. A child, she was. A girl, barely more than a babe in stature. Skin pale as alabaster, and teeth sharp as truth, and eyes empty as forever. She crashed upon us with all the fury of heaven, all the hateful hunger of hell, starved by her century slumbering beneath that hallowed earth. We cried out as her little hands fell upon us, as her little teeth sank into us, as her colossal thirst was loosed upon us, desolate and dust dry, and my God, so deep, we knew it must only destroy us. Strong as mountains, mighty as the very bones of this cradle, that little monster wrapped us up and held us close, ravenous, dragging all I was from within my veins, euphoria and terror entwined, the abyss yawning at our feet as still she drank. It drank. Death, but one more mouthful, one more swallow, one more bright red drop away. "Mother Marin," I whispered, "please." And then she stopped, stilled, that gaping maw dripping red, little eyes deep as the abyss turning upward now, upward toward the tomb far above our heads. Inside the crypt they had buried her in, upon the slab they set her on, the grail lay in repose, still clad in her suit of plate and chain, ashen hair arrayed in a halo around her head. The Red Hand of God, they'd named her, La Demoiselle de Graal. But more and most, the whisper that had become a cry, that had become a hymn, was a simple one, and true. "San Dior," Marin breathed. "San Dior." She was a beauty, motionless in the dark after a life spent in struggle. Saviour, sinner, saint. A girl I cared for. And there in the dark, that girl opened her eyes.